Welcome to Series 2, Episode 10 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 10th episode of Series 2 of Encounter Points. I'm Ken Hellenius.
And I'm Bill Schmidt.
Last week, Bill, we talked about incense and smells and a little bit about bells.
Apropos of nothing, Ken, did I ever tell you about the brief stint I did as a riverboat car dealer?
Well, I don't believe you ever did, Bill. Were you good at it?
Well, didn't you hear me say that it was a brief stint? Welcome, everyone, to our episode 10 of this series of podcasts between myself, Bill Schmidt, and my good friend, Ken Hellenius. And we're talking about incarnational piety, and we've been talking about sacramentals, and we're just having a really interesting time talking about all of the ways these things affect evangelization and our life as Catholics. And Ken, how are you doing? And are you having a good time?
Oh my gosh! Yes. The short answer is yes, and good. The long answer is most definitely.
Oh, excellent! Yeah, I'm glad you had both because my question was so long that it needed at least two answers. So.
Right. Right.
Sorry.
No, it's been good. I like what we've chatted about so far, and you know, given that I and you together know the roadmap,
yes,
I'm delighted about where we're going as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't want to tease anyone, but to say that we've got several more episodes of quality content and a few that aren't.
Right.
You're just going to have to choose which is which when you're listening.
Well, that's very fine. Yeah. And in fact, I guess we welcome comments on our show notes pages, et cetera.
They're at encounterpoints.com.
Exactly.
You can always leave comments on each individual episode. You, of course, can rate us on Apple Podcasts and on the Google Play. I mean,
yes.
We're living in an age when everybody can not only have an opinion,
right,
but they can express it freely and for the world to read.
And it's so wonderful that so many people choose to do that in such a coarse, mean-spirited and
anonymous, totally
way.
Anonymous, with zero accountability. I love it, this age.
You know, what a world.
Yeah. Finally, this is freedom of the press at its finest. This is what the founding fathers wanted.
That's really
true.
And
this is what the founding fathers have created and given us.
Yes, indeed.
And handed down to us, really.
That's right. And they are turning around in their graves, I presume, in joy, but I don't know.
I assume it's joy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we do welcome comments and hope that they won't be coarse and crude.
Yeah.
But we're doing everything we can to avoid scenario.
And the main way that we combat that is by bringing quality content.
Amen.
Like this.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
Well, tonight, are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, I think it really is quality content tonight, I think, because we wanted to talk about incarnational piety in the form of what we like to think of as putting religion into words, putting faith into words, and prayers in general, but also specifically because we think of them as kind of sacramentals or as tangible signs of our Catholicism that are somewhat distinctive to our faith, prayer cards and the death cards or wake cards that you might receive at a funeral home.
Yeah.
And also just the phenomenon of so many prayers that Catholics are blessed with from tradition and prayers that are still being written today. And we are immersed in the possibility of prayer, which is a very good thing, since we're told to pray constantly.
To pray always.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great thing to talk about.
Great.
And I'm excited to kind of chat about these. And let's begin with this idea of holy cards.
Yes, holy cards.
You know,
cards.
Because holy cards are very, as you said, they're a very distinctive Catholic thing.
Yes.
You walk in any Catholic bookstore and there will be a rack, typically a rotating rack,
right,
that has holy cards that represent all the different saints, or at least a wide selection, yes, of saints. Other cards that will have, you know, a nice image. Typically, it's gilded in some way.
And right.
Then, you know, it's gilded, and then it's sealed in a hard plastic cover so that you can put it in your pocket. You can use it as a bookmark, whatever you might want.
Right.
That might have the list of the Ten Commandments, or the, right, the four marks of the church, or the Beatitudes, whatever it may be. These are all holy cards.
Right.
And they typically are the sort of thing that you might give as a gift. You know, you might stuff into a greeting card on the occasion of a baptism or a confirmation or a marriage or something.
Exactly.
Like that. Holy cards, for me, I use them as bookmarks.
Wonderful.
I use them as aids to prayer,
yes,
especially in my Bible. I'll have a couple holy cards that might be, you know, devoted to a particular saint. Saint Thomas Aquinas is a popular one to use, that I use in textbooks, because Saint Thomas Aquinas being one of the patrons of students and learning.
Education, exactly. Right?
Yeah. And I think about them kind of in a, as the trading cards of the saints.
Oh, I love it.
You know, they're like my Star Wars cards or my, right, baseball cards.
Right.
Except these are saints.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
these are the forebears in the faith, the ones who,
that's
who
a good
are
way to look
good
at
examples.
Them. Truly
in the
heroes,
same way,
yes,
that in the same way that John Olerud, the baseball player, his baseball card was, you know, when I was a kid, everybody, you know, coveted the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
Ah.
You know, it's like, oh, I want to get the rookie card of St. Jude Thaddeus.
Oh, wow. You know? Very good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. The rookie cards are tough for the apostles. I mean, they're the Honus Wagner of the saint cards, if you know anything about Honus Wagner cards being, yeah, the single most valuable baseball,
right,
card of all time.
Oh, my, yeah, goodness.
Yeah.
Ah.
There's your trivia to take home.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I don't know too much about baseball cards, although I did collect them because it was de rigueur growing up. I wasn't too much of a sports fan. I'd say that my most coveted item in the pack of cards was the really awful gum. There was always an impossibly unchewable,
yeah, yeah,
strip of bubble
and
gum.
And it was really there merely to provide kind of a, what's the right term? Diversion.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's right.
I mean, it was, yeah, not chewable. You're right.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
thin and gross.
Yes.
It was, and here's the worst part. It was half the size of a piece of like Double Mint. It wasn't even worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, a piece of Double Mint, you're like, I need two of these because one is not enough.
Right.
Well, you needed four baseball card packs worth to get a mouth worth chewing of terrible gum.
Right. And that would have definitely been the plan of the baseball card company. You know, they wanted you to buy as many cards
and now that I'm
as
thinking about
possible.
It, how,
yeah,
come we don't get any gum with our holy cards?
You know? See, it's an interesting thought. Yeah, it might be something to
a disappointment, frankly.
Reach out to people with. I don't know
how we got off on this.
I'm glad we did, because there is a wealth of possibilities for good, clean Catholic humor based on this concept that I'm going to work on for a future episode.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. When I think of holy cards, I also immediately think of the line from Caddyshack,
yeah,
in which Maggie tells Danny, well, why don't you come in and help me sort me holy cards first? And it leads to a bit of lasciviousness, if you will, which is quite the opposite of what the holy card is meant to do.
Yes.
The holy card is meant to actually call us back to a mindfulness of the communion of saints and our place therein.
Exactly.
So if you're using holy cards like they do in Caddyshack, you're doing it wrong.
I would think that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I remember is the gopher, I think, from Caddyshack. So I'm going
to
have
to
watch
all the gophers.
Again. Yeah.
I kill all the gophers. Won't they throw me in jail and, you know, throw away the key? Yeah. No. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot for me to relearn about our Catholic faith. No, at least about popular
about
culture.
Yeah. Exactly. That's right. Holy cards.
Yeah. And one I learned actually in the process of recently doing research for a book on St. Francis, I learned that one reason why the peace prayer that's so well known, the Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Yeah.
At least according to some historians, the reason why that prayer, which is fairly recently written, it was written in the early 20th century and was anonymously written, the reason why it's associated with St. Francis, at least according to some, is that St. Francis was on the opposite side of prayer cards that were distributed with that prayer.
By? So
I'm not sure.
Oh, I think in my mind,
yes?
Francis Spellman.
I think you told me this, yes.
Yeah, that's the name that I associate with this with this prayer.
Yeah.
And it may have even been his ordination card.
Isn't that something?
And ordination cards are kind
ordination
of...
Ordination cards?
You know, yeah, ordination cards are in some ways a nice segue, because I think of those, the ordination cards of newly ordained priests and religious that take their solemn vows.
Yes.
They will often have an image, whether it be an icon or an image of a saint, with on the back, you know, a memorial of the date of ordination or their date of vows, and a prayer or an invitation, please pray for me, these sorts of things.
Yes, yeah. And I do love the tradition as well. And I have some holy cards that were handed down to me from past generations of my family, etc. So those are naturally important. But I also am mindful of how just about everything we've been saying about those cards would be fairly, terra incognita to our Protestant brothers and sisters. The idea of the saints, first of all, for many Protestants, but also the idea of the prepared prayers that might be on the back. Those would be kind of strange seeming to a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters, people of other faiths. But what do you think about how that makes us distinct in some way? Can we do a bit of apologetics to explain ourselves to our Protestant brothers and sisters about that?
I think the term incarnational applies very much here.
Indeed.
Because these cards are something that we touch that, again, reminds us of and that connects us to the spiritual.
Yes.
In a way that the card itself is not the actual be-all, end-all.
Right.
It's the prayer there, you know, contained thereon.
Yes.
It's the image contained thereon that points us back to the spiritual reality.
Exactly.
That is beyond us.
Exactly.
And so I think about this in terms of, especially, you know, one of the other things that you mentioned at the top of the show here, think of this in terms of the death cards or wake cards.
Right.
Because when I go to a funeral and I pick up a little card that has a photo of the deceased on it, typically, you know, a photo in which they're looking hale and hearty, you know, and it has their life dates on it.
Yes.
And on the back, it might have either a brief bio or it might have a prayer and an invitation to pray for them.
Yes.
These things remind me of my brothers and sisters in the faith.
Yes.
These things remind me of literally the communion of saints.
Yes.
Whether or not they're canonized, this is an a baptized Christian who is a member of the communion of saints.
And yes. So
you could be no more incarnational, right? This person reflected Christ in some way to the community around them, including me,
right,
when I walk into their funeral. One of the most prized kind of things in when I was a Dominican at St. Albert Priory in Oakland, California, was the walkway between the main cloister and the chapel had these framed kind of displays of the death cards of all of the friars of the province who had died in reverse, you know, essentially reverse chronological order. So as you walked from the cloister to the chapel, you walked by all of the priests and brothers that had served the people of God in the Western Dominican province. And that for me was a touchstone with our history,
right,
and a touchstone with the ministry and an encouragement.
Right.
And so that's what I think about when I think about these things as being literally an incarnational reality.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And what a great way to integrate the memory of the individual deceased with the whole mission of prayer and the whole sense of the communion of saints being something much bigger than any one individual. It's a real act of solidarity as well as incarnationality.
Yeah.
Would that be the word?
Something like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
The incarnational nature.
The incarnational nature.
Of reality.
Yeah.
And that's not just with the ordained and the religious, right? I mean, it's funny. I have here in my office, I have obviously a closet with my suits hanging in there. I'll bet if you reached into the suit coat pocket, the inner pocket of any of my suit coats, you would discover at least one death card from a funeral that I've gone
to. Right, right, right.
You know, and those things, because they go into my pocket. And then when I put on the suit coat, even if I'm not going to a funeral, even if I'm going to, you know, a business event, I reach into the pocket and I pull out a card from somebody who's deceased and I think of them and I offer a prayer for them.
Yeah.
This is a reminder that this person is indeed somebody who affected me enough that I went to their funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is an invitation to pray for our brothers and sisters, the, you know, the church suffering. Right. As we think of those in purgatory.
Exactly.
And if they're already in heaven, it's a chance to ask them to intercede for us.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. Now, one could argue along the lines I was mentioning that, you know, that much of this remembrance impact could be had with through spontaneous prayer.
Oh, of course.
A la the more Protestant style. But yeah, you're right. I need the images, or at least they certainly enhance my memory of the reality of it in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's in some ways it's no different than just seeing their name printed somewhere, right?
Yeah,
it's their name plus a picture, so that they're even more present to me in that moment. You know, the photo of them hale and hearty rather than pale and already dead, you know, which may be the last physical memory that I have of them laying in the casket.
Yes.
You know?
So. Yes. Yeah.
So I love these things. We went to a friend of ours passed away last December, and we flew out to the Pacific Northwest to be at his funeral with his family and friends, of course, and other friends and family.
Right.
And, We talked about, you know, do you have a card ready, you know, for this? And one had not been prepared. And I said, I would be happy as my contribution to this. You know, one thing that I can do to remember him is to help create a card. And
wonderful.
And that card sits in our living room. It sits on our mantelpiece overlooking us of our friend, Sean. You know,
that's great.
And I remember to pray for him. And I do pray for him when I see his card, you know.
Yeah.
And
what
that's
a great gift that was.
Yeah, you know,
and it turned out to be a gift that redounded back to you as well.
Well, and it's also one of those things where it's like, then people coming into the funeral have something to hold.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
You know? So these are they're very strongly incarnational things.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a beautiful tradition. And indeed, I would say that in general, the traditions of the prepared, sometimes even ancient prayers that we Catholics say for different circumstances and on different feasts or to different saints, etc. Those are beautiful traditions that are lost in the drive for spontaneity. Among some of our Christian brothers and sisters.
They can be complementary to one another.
Yes,
though,
they
too,
can. You know? In fact, we Catholics are known for not being as comfortable with spontaneous prayer. But when we're reminded that our whole goal is to be building a very present and rich and ongoing relationship with the Lord, spontaneous prayer really does make absolute sense, doesn't it? So we should be skilled in that as well. Maybe not skilled. Skill makes it sound like a technique or something. It's right. Really a conversation with God.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. Very much. And letting God speak to us, which is another incarnational way in which the prayer cards and these collections of prayers and everything really help me, I know, and I believe and hope that it does for so many people. It's a real joy to find in a Catholic bookstore or elsewhere, you know, a collection of prayers perhaps focused around a particular saint or particular holy day or whatever.
Or devotion, yeah.
Or devotion, exactly.
Yeah.
Something that really resonates with you, and that it's a treasure trove. It's one after another sometimes of great, great words. And words have power. Words are chosen very carefully in these prayers, and it's beautiful to savor them.
You know, that may be a great spot to end tonight.
Oh, well.
Mainly because we're going to pick this up next week.
Okay.
With the idea that words do indeed have power.
Ah, yes.
And there are words, of course, in the form of the scriptures and
right.
in our formal prayers that very much lead us into a deeper conversation with the Lord.
Yes.
And I think I think if we end right here, it's the perfect spot to say our words tonight are going to lead you into future words.
Very good. I guess the Urban Dictionary would just allow me to say word.
Palabra.
Palabra is even better.
See you next week, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's chat. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.